Have your Bibles tonight.
How are you, sir?
Take your scripture and find, if you would, please, the seventh chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 7. We will return to our series on this book entitled Things to Remember. We will return to this little section of chapters 6 and 7 that we have lumped together. And we've been searching these two chapters and being reminded of what God was doing in his preparation for the nation of Israel as they were headed into the promised land. And these two chapters are chapters that deal with the area of obedience. They deal with the subject of obedience to God by his people, obedience that ought to be rendered carefully, rendered freely, and rendered from the heart. God was wanted them to obey him, not out of a robotic position or as a fearful position that would be unhealthy, but God wanted them to obey him, be properly motivated. God had blessing for the nation of Israel. God had a plan for the nation of Israel. God is good. He's good all the time. And he wanted to do something in his people that would be a delight to them and to him. He wanted to do something in their lives and in their midst that not only would be a blessing to the nation, but that would also be a blessing to the world, as the world could then look and see these chosen people, these people that serve the true and living God, these people that were blessed above all peoples of the land. And really and truthfully, that beautiful relationship was designed to be a lighthouse to the true and living God. And so they had failed as a people in their obedience to the Lord. The previous generation had done that. They had failed miserably and consequentially, as they were not allowed to enter into the promised land. And so the first generation, we know that they suffered and that they died in that wilderness, never being able to step foot in the promised land. Two men and their families were able to do that, Joshua and Caleb. Of course, these were men that had a heart to know and to love the Lord. And so Moses is reminding the nation of proper motivation when it comes to obeying the Lord. And he's explaining to the nation and he's letting them know that God wants you to obey him, and there's blessing in obedience. And yes, there will be punishment in disobedience, and there will be a joy and a reckoning of your blessing, but of your obedience. But that obedience needs to be properly motivated. And God said, number one, I want you to obey me because you love me. I want you to obey me out of your heart. I want your heart to be in it. I don't want it to be something that's per se just in your mind, or something that's given over in just a heartless render. This is someone that I wanted you to love, to obey me because you love me. Matter of fact, in the New Testament, the Bible says, if you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments. The second reason and motivation that we looked at was the motivation of gratitude. And Moses is letting the nation know that God wants you to obey him because you love him, but he also wants you to obey him with grateful hearts. Never forgetting what God has done for you in redeeming them out of Egypt, bringing them out of bondage, which is a picture to you and I of salvation. And to be truthful with you, we really should never get over the fact that we are sinners saved by grace. You know, I don't know. God is amazing. I don't know how he puts up with my ingratitude. I think I'd kill my kids if they were as ungrateful as I am sometimes. How we get to the point where we forget his great salvation in our life. how we forget to the point that we were under condemnation and we were headed under the wage of our sin. And had it not been for his grace, we would never know freedom. We would never know redemption. I mean, how in the world, when you think about it, could we ever forget that God saved us? But we're quick to do that. We're quick to do that. We're quick to turn from that. We're quick to forget about that. To me, that ought to be a motivation for all of the decisions of our life. It ought to be a motivation for all of the actions of our life. Let me tell you something. If you're truly saved and you truly understand what God has done for you, then you want to obey the Lord. Amen. I have learned in pastoring now that pretty much people are going to do what people want to do. When I first became the pastor, I don't know if I tried to keep people from doing what they were going to do or motivate them or try to whatever. But I have found that you are going to do and I am going to do what I want to do. And really and truthfully, no one is going to stop me from doing that. The only way that I am stopped from doing what I want to do is by laying down my will, by surrendering myself to the Lord. As a believer in Christ, the child of God ought to want to know and do the will of God. Amen? It's perplexing to me when me as a pastor, I have to talk Christians into acting like Christians. That just blows my mind that I would have to talk somebody who claims to be a Christian to act like a Christian or threaten them or try to strong arm them or manipulate them or lure them or massage them. My friends, if Christ is in you, and his nature is in you, and the Spirit of God is in you, then you ought to want righteousness for yourself. Amen? It's perplexing when somebody says they're a Christian, but they don't want righteousness for themselves. And God said, when you get in there, Israel, would you obey me from the position of gratitude? Don't forget what I've done for you. Last 3 weeks, we've looked on the fact that God wanted them to be reminded that they were a special people unto him, separated unto him. And because they were special unto him and separated unto him in his identity, then he wanted them to act like that. He wanted them to be free from the contamination of that ungodly society. And he wanted them to obey him because they belonged to him and because they identified with him. And so we spent a lot of time on that motivation. So love, gratitude, and separation. And tonight, as we make our way in chapter number 7, and we pick up with verse number 17, and we make our way through the end of the chapter, really and truthfully, the fourth motivation of that Moses is laying before them is God says, I not only want you to obey me because you love me, I want you to obey me because you're grateful. I want you to obey me because you understand that you're a special people separated unto me, but I also want you to obey me because of who I am. Just simply because of who I am. And so I have entitled the lesson tonight, Because of Who God Is. And I want you to know something, that God knows that he is good. I'm going to say that again. Whether you know it or not, and whether I know it or not, or whether I perceive it or whether you perceive it, or whether I submit to it or you submit to it, God knows within himself that he is good. He knows that he created you. He knows that the plan that he has for you is good. He knows the purposes that he has for you are good. He knows that everything that he has planned and purposed and provided for you is good. Because God is good. He knows it within himself. And he operates according to that. Now, you and I, we don't always see it the way that he sees it. And so we kind of develop differing in mindset and differing opinion here. But God knows within himself that he is good. He knows that the way that he's behaving towards you is good. Therefore, he's justified in however he moves within our life. And so he's telling the nation of Israel, now, I want you to come in here. I want you to love me, man. I want you to be grateful. I want you to understand how special you are to me. But I also want you to obey just because I'm God and because I'm good. In chapter 7, verses 17 to 26, God makes promises to the nation of Israel. And he makes these promises to them. And if God is good, then his promises must be good. So if God is good, then his plan must be good. Since God is good, then his purpose for you must be good. So here's God, all this goodness available to these people who deserved anything but goodness. But God loved them. And God chose them. The same way you and I, we deserve anything but goodness, but God has loved us. God has chosen us in Christ, and he has redeemed us. And so God has a plan and a purpose and a provision for our life that he knows is good. And according to that, therefore, he has made promises to the nation, such as he has made to us. And those promises are based upon his character. They're based upon his plan, his purpose, his provision, and his goodness. And so God makes to the nation in this chapter promises that he full well can keep. I want to say this. There's not a promise that God has ever made that God cannot keep. Matter of fact, you write this down in your notes. If you're taking notes, write down Joshua chapter 21, verse 45. Write down Joshua chapter 23, verse number 14. Joshua with his own mouth said later, there hath not failed one word that God has ever promised unto us. All of it has come to fruition. And so God has, because he is good, he has nothing but goodness prepared for his people. He's wanting them to enjoy that goodness. He's knowing that that goodness then it will be appropriated as they're obedient to him, and there will be blessing there. And he's making and he's unfolding all of this goodness to them through promises that he's making to them. And now it's up to them whether or not they are going to receive his promise. How do you receive his promise? They receive his promise by faith and trust and obeying him. And so this is the understanding at the end of this chapter. The fourth motivation, and you need to know it. Love, gratitude, special, sanctified, set apart unto me, but also because of who I am. And he strikes right at the heart of motivation in verse number 17. If thou shalt say in thine, say it class, heart. All right, now they're getting ready to go in here. And Moses is going after the seat of their motivation. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Previously, God said, oh, that there was a heart within the nation. And so right now, God's after the motivation of their heart. He knows that is within that inner man that they're going to wrestle with what they're going to do. They're going to wrestle with, is God good? Once they find out the plan of God, is it trustworthy? Once they find out the purpose of God, will they be satisfied? Once they look at the provision of God, will it be sufficient? And God knows that, man, their heart and that processing part of them is going to get challenged. So he's setting them up. When you get in there, if thou say in thine heart, verse 17, these what? Nations. Now, hold your finger right there by the word nation and look over, if you would, at verse number 1 of this chapter. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and has cast out many nations before thee, The Hittites, Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Seven nations, what's that word? Greater and mightier than thou. So he told them, I've got a plan for you over here, and I've got a purpose for you over here, and I've got good for you over here in this nation, in these nations. Now you're going to go in here and you're going to defeat these nations. Now I'm telling you up front that these nations are stronger and more mighty and greater than you. Just so we're up front about this, this is what you're headed to. Now he comes back to this thought in verse 17. If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, what's the next word? How can, what's that word? I dispossess them. Thank you. Thank you. I needed that. How can I dispossess them? All right. So he's after this motivation of them. He says, now you're going to get over here. And you're going to see these nations, and your heart is going to ask this question. How can I? That's the wrong question. Well, Pastor, how can I pay my bills? I'm hurting. Pastor, how can I ever be married? Pastor, how could I ever be successful in this? Pastor, how could I ever be free from this problem? Pastor, how could I ever get out of this bondage? Pastor, I know God is good, but how can I ever attain that? How can I is the wrong question. If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? I have that part underlined. I want you to underline verse 17 in your Bible. Watch how this unfolds. Underline, if thou shalt say in thine heart. Come down to that verse and underline those three words, how can I? Pastor, I'm using a Pew Bible right now. Underline it. I don't care. Come down to verse number 20. Moreover, the Lord thy God, what's that word? Will. Underline that. Moreover, the Lord thy God will. Come down to verse number 22 and underline, and the Lord thy God will. Come down to verse number 23 and underline, but the Lord thy God shall. Now go back up to verse number 17. If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I? You can't. But God can. You can't. How can I? You can't. Moreover, the Lord thy God will, underlined. And the Lord thy God will. Verse 23, but the Lord thy God shall. Verse 24, and he shall. You see, this is what Moses is setting up the nation for. He's letting them understand, you're asking the wrong question. Your question, therefore, is evidence that you're trusting in yourself. Your question is, how are we going to do this? And God says, I'm not bringing you over here so you can do this. I'm bringing you in here so I can do this for you. You can't do anything, but I can do everything. And this is what he's after. He's after the motivation of their heart. He's after their understanding of who God is. So I'm bringing you in my goodness to a war with seven nations that are greater than you are. And when you get in there and you see those seven great nations and your heart begins to get nervous and you begin to think, how am I going to do this? Moses says, you're not. So know it up front. You're not going to do this. But God is going to do it for you. Pastor, I would get saved, but I could never stop this sin. It's amazing to me how people try to look on the other side of being saved. And they think if this is salvation, they think on this side of it, well, once I'm saved, how could I ever do without this? Or how could I ever do without this? And you would be amazed at how many people look on the other side of salvation and they're scared out of their mind because they don't know how they would ever live that life. Well, I got news for you. You don't live it. Christ lives it in you. So many believers think, well, I would step out by faith and I would obey the Lord in this, but I don't know how I would ever survive. My friend, you would survive as God would enable you. I don't know how I would ever be able to appropriate this. Well, you can't, but God can. And so what God wants the nation of Israel to do is he said, listen, I want you to obey me because of who I am. You're limited. I'm unlimited. I'm letting you know up front, there's going to be difficulty. I'm not asking for your ability or your strength. I'm going to do this for you. Don't ask what you can do or how are you going to do it. Look to me. I promise you that I can take care of you. By the way, God can take care of us. So he gives them three things to think about here. In verses 18 and 19, he wants them to remember something. Now, when you get in there, verse 18, thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well, say that word. Remember, this is our whole title, Things Remembered. Thou shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt. The great temptations which thine eyes saw, the signs, the wonders, the mighty hand, the stretched out arm, whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out, so shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art, say the word. Now listen, God's people battle fear so horribly. We're scared out of our mind to take a step of faith or to go in a direction that God has opened to us. Because we don't understand it, or because we see seven nations greater than us, or we see this immediate danger. And God knew as soon as they got in there, they would see this immediate danger. They would immediately fall back on their own ability, and that would be difficult. So setting them up, he says, now listen, I'm after your motivation. I want you to obey me because of who I am. I'm good. I have nothing but good for you. I have good promise to you. The way you appropriate this is by believing me. Now, when you get in there and you get scared out of your mind, just remember what I've done in your past. Remember my past faithfulness. Remember, I brought you out of Egypt. You were scared then. I brought you through the wilderness. You were scared then. I've never dropped you. I've never let you down. I've never failed you. I have been faithful to you then, and I will be faithful to you ever. And you need to remember that and look back on my goodness. So many times, God's people, we get in the midst of some problem, and we forget all of the past problems God has delivered us from. We forget that we were heathens who knew not God until we were saved. We forget about the strong hand that God met that financial problem 3 years ago. We forget about the protection God gave to us. We forget about all the things that God has done in our past. Now, I got news for you. God does not want to be forgotten. And so he's after you get over there. Don't let your heart say, how can you? It's not, you're not going to do this. I'm going to do this. But don't let that fear turn you. Now, when you get there, remember what I did over there and what I've done over there, I can do here. Don't forget God's past faithfulness. Let me talk to you that have a bill that's scaring you to death. Remember, God has always paid your bills. So I had a precious lady. She was losing her income. She was losing her husband. Her husband was a fool, and he was divorcing her. In divorcing her, he was stripping her of her income and her abilities. And she came to me, and I love this lady with all of my heart. She said, "Pastor, what am I going to do?" She says, "How am I going to pay my bills?" And I'll tell you, God gave me an answer that was above my pay grade. And I looked at her and I said, "You're going to pay your bills the same way you paid your bills when you had a job." What do you mean by that? You think because you had a job you paid your bills? You paid your bills because God paid your bills. And God can pay your bills when you have a job. And God can pay your bills when you don't have a job. He's God. We think, well, how can I do? You can't. You can't. But he can. So let me talk to those of you that got relational problems. He's helped you in the past with your relationship. Don't forget what God has done in the past. Number two, he did not want the nation of Israel. He wanted them to consider his present faithfulness. Look at verse number 20. "Moreover, the Lord thy God will send the," say that word, "hornet." I've been saying it for 2 weeks now. I just like the word hornet. I wanted to get a picture and show you a hornet. Anybody ever been stung and you know by a hornet? Hurts like mad. Watch what God says to the nation. It's phenomenal. I love this passage. "Moreover," remember, they're scared out of their mind. "Moreover, the Lord thy God will send the hornet among them until they that are left and hide themselves from thee be destroyed. Thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God is," say it class, "among you, and he is mighty God and he is terrible." Now, Israel, I want you to be properly motivated to obey me, and I want that motivation to be understand of who I am. I am good. I have good for you here. I have made promises based on who I am. I want to bless you. Now you're going to have to remember as you come in here that how my past faithfulness, but also consider my present faithfulness with you. Can you imagine these seven strong nations? Just before the nation of Israel, and they've got all of their battle on. They've got their helmets on. They've got all of their armor on. I mean, they're ready for war. And there's the nation of Israel coming, and they're thinking, we're just going to destroy these defenseless people. And all of a sudden, God says, "Stop right there, Israel. I got reinforcements coming. I can't whistle. Go get them, boys." And out of that desert, in the Bible, if you study that hornet, those hornets made nests in the ground. And it talks about how when the nation of Israel, this passage, when you study it deep, it talks about how those nations kind of hid themselves in the ground. You imagine as those hornets, and I believe they were real hornets, came up out of the ground and marshaled into an army. And here stands these seven nations, greater and stronger than any man Israel had. And all of a sudden, here come the hornets. What a mighty God we serve. And God says, don't forget to consider my present faithfulness. I'm with you. I'm here. By the way, I am almighty, I'm mighty God, and I'm terrible. I don't know what problem you're in tonight. I don't know what difficulty you're in tonight, but I promise you this, if you know God, he's with you. You better consider his present faithfulness. In these verses, I see a uniqueness here, but I see an ultimate victory. Can I just help you understand something? Our God is unique. We want to make this little box, and we want God to fit in our little box, and we want God to work according to how we think he wants to work. And so we think he needs to meet our needs this way. And God just seems to have unique ways to show himself strong on our behalf. Sometimes we think, well, this problem can only be handled if I get this or do this. And God has the ability to handle it from a different direction. God could have let the nation of Israel defeat them, but God chose to use the hornet. The hornet was a safe, a complete, and an ultimate way to destroy these enemies. And I would submit to you tonight, as you remember who God is and consider his present faithfulness, would you please remember and pause that our God is unique. He probably is not going to meet your need the way you think he's going to meet your need. But he will meet your need. Now, the immature believer who doesn't reckon God's uniqueness, who doesn't see God working the way they think they're going to work, or he's going to work, then they want to run. They want to take it on themselves. They want to give up. They want to quit. And so they try to meet their need, and they're incapable of meeting it in an ultimate way. You just got to stop back and you got to say, God, I'm your kid, and I have this need. I don't know how you're going to meet it, but I know you can meet it. You have not left me. You have not forsaken me. And God, if you can use the hornets to drive out those nations, then you can use whatever means you want to in my life. But here's the number one thing I promise you God is going to work according to. He is going to work so that he and he alone can get the glory. It's powerful. Remember his past faithfulness, consider his present faithfulness. In verses 22 and 24, the Bible says, and the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee. I like this now. Little and what? Little. Now, little and little. God wanted them to trust his future faithfulness as well. And so God says, Now, when you go over there, I've got good prepared for you, but I also have a good plan for you. Now, when you make your way into the land, you're not going to get all of the victory at once. Did you hear that? Please don't miss this. You're not going to get all of the victory at once. I'm going to give it to you little by little, just a little bit. Sometimes we get so disappointed in God because we didn't get everything we want. It didn't work out exactly like we planned. And we think, well, God, you should have done all of this. And God just did a little teeny weeny little bit. And you and I have the audacity to look at God and say, you messed up. How dare you not do that? But I got news for you. Our God is infinite wisdom. If you agree with that, say amen. The reason God will not give you all the time complete victory at once is because you can't handle it. Read the passage. It's phenomenal, the thought process of God. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. Well, God, why would you do that? Thou mayest not consume them at once. Why? Lest the beast of the field increase upon thee. Wow. God says, now guys, I got these seven nations over here, but I've also got animals and beasts, and I've got, there's predators here, and there's danger here. And so if I let you go in here and I let you wipe out all these people at one time, you're not able to manage all of this. You're not able to staff all of these cities. You're not able to spread out. And so what's going to happen is you might get a little bit here, but all of a sudden the beasts of the field are going to rise up. And now the beasts of the field are going to overtake you. And so to keep the beast from overtaking you, I'm going to let you go little by little. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want any beast overtaking me. Is that not wisdom? Israel, you can't manage that much goodness at one time. It will hurt you. So I'm going to do it little by little. You're unfair, God. No, he's loving. Well, that's not how I see. No, he's good. No, I can do better. Liar, liar. Pants on fire. Pastor, why isn't God giving me everything I want? Because he knows things you don't know. He sees danger where you don't see danger. You and I aren't capable of managing all of that. We're not strong enough. We're not numbered enough. We're not smart enough. And so what God does is he begins to section it off little by little and gives it to us as we can handle it. He's promised the ultimate victory, and he'll walk us through that. But he's not going to let you get to a place where there's gaps in your life and you can get devoured by the beast. He loves us too much. He loves us too much. Well, Pastor, if I could just make six figures, when God wants you to make six figures, you'll make six figures. Well, Pastor, if I could just buy a home, well, truth be told, you might not be able to handle buying a home. You might lose that home. By the way, buying a home is the beginning of your problems, not the answer to your problems. Pastor, if I could just be married. Well, you're not ready to be married. There's beast out there. Pastor, if I could just get that promotion. No, you're not ready to manage. You're not ready. No, I can do it. No, you can't. No, you can't. And in his goodness, he gives it to us little by little. He walks us through and he protects us. And he cares for us. We serve an awesome God. So Israel, remember his past faithfulness. Consider his present faithfulness. Trust his future faithfulness, his timing, his wisdom, his power. And then he sums it up by have faith. Look, if you would, please, verse 24 and 25, and I'll be done. I'm sorry, 25 and 26. The graven images of their gods shall you burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein. For it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it. Thou shalt utterly abhor it. For it's a cursed thing. What's he saying there? Basically, he's telling them, love me, trust me, and have faith in me. I am good. I am your God. I have a good plan for you. I've got good promises for you. I've got good provision for you, purpose for you. Obey me because of who I am. I am good, and I am good all the time. So when you say in your heart, how can I? The answer is, you can't, but God will. And the quicker you get to that understanding, and the quicker you humble yourself to that position, you will find God beginning to release to you little by little and more by more, and you will find that obeying the Lord won't be so difficult or so scary. It will be a delight. Shall we pray?